A little more bite, a little less spark. A little less bite, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart.
Hello and welcome to The Green Front. Very happy to have you on the show in 2013. Tell all your friends about us. We are the best kept secret on the internet. Progressive Radio Network does a fabulous job. They have other environmentally themed programs. Ours is proud to be among them. I am proud to bring you the very latest and most important stories. That's from my training as a CBS reporter for 20 years. So we are bringing you hot off the press, as Brad and Desi just said, the latest news about the Keystone Pipeline approval in Nebraska by the governor there. Also, President Obama breaking his climate silence in his inauguration speech. We're going to be talking to Brad Johnson, forecast the facts and climate silence in just a moment. And at the end of the hour, we're going to talk to someone from the U.S. Green Building Council. They have just ranked America's cities to see who is the greenest of them all, and we might even have one more story squeezed in there. So a very exciting and jam-packed show for you. Very pleased to welcome back to the program my co-host, D.R. Tucker, and Brad Johnson. Hey, guys.
Yes, how you doing?
Well, we're celebrating the fact that we're starting this new year and this new term, second term of the Obama administration, on a hopeful note. Of course, we're cautiously optimistic, Brad, right? Actions speak louder than words, but are you encouraged by Obama, kind of surprising everyone, coming out, you know, so strongly, and as he pointed out to Henry Waxman, making actually more than a mention about climate change?
I think the reason for both optimism and caution is to recognize that this is how President Obama began his first term, with strong and vigorous language about the moral urgency of addressing climate change. So, you know, I think he's looking for a reset of his presidency. I think he personally recognizes the moral necessity of action, but it's not clear to me how the politics of essentially ending our dependence on fossil fuels has changed. I mean, you saw that, like, that at that inauguration, one of the largest funders was ExxonMobil, who had given $260,000 to the inaugural ceremonies.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah. So, you know, we live in a world that all aspects of society are, you know, including, you know, no matter how liberal or conservative you are, our dependence on fossil fuels is tied closely to everything that we do. And so, as the president said, it will be a long and hard battle, but it's one that has to begin, you know, and it has. People are taking actions everywhere to confront climate change, but the challenge is enormous.
Brad, any thoughts on Joe Rome's article earlier today on climate progress indicating that there's a hopeful sign that Obama might say no to the Keystone XL pipeline, which is the delay in the approval, and the fact that if and when he is confirmed as Secretary of State, John Kerry may play a role. Joe Rome wrote earlier today that considering Kerry's outspokenness on the climate issue and the fact that, according to Rome, he has been the most outspoken senator since Al Gore on the climate issue, it is highly unlikely that he would sign off on, you know, giving a thumbs up to the Keystone XL pipeline. Does that inspire optimism in you, or do you think that we may be sort of, you know, leading ourselves down a primrose path here?
I have to admit that I don't derive my inspiration and optimism as much from our leaders or elected leaders as I do from the hard work of the American people and people around this world. So, I mean, what I derive optimism and inspiration from are the activists who have been working to delay and block the construction approved of the southern leg of the Keystone XL pipeline, and I'm inspired by the thousands of people who are committing to come down to the White House to protest the Keystone XL pipeline on February 17th. You know, hope isn't a strategy. So, you know, you need hope to keep going every day, but the real question is, it's a real question of just political and economic power. And do the American people, are they willing to stand up against, a foreign oil pipeline company, that TransCanada, that's trying to shove this pipeline down our throats? And, you know, if we stand up, I mean, we saw that, like, the Nebraskan people fought and you know, and blocked the pipeline there until the National Republican Party threw in its weight. So this is, it's some, you know, the basic question is, you know, we can't depend on President Obama or John Kerry to do our work for us, but they will listen to the American people if we make our voices heard strongly enough.
And that brings up a good point. President Obama has said on other issues, and I'm not sure if he's actually said it on the climate change environmental front yet, make me do it. Make me do it. He's really asking for a movement with more muscle and volume, I think, this time around. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, there's one, the challenge that we're facing is, you know, is, and as, you know, others have pointed out, this is as big an economic challenge that as the United States faced before the Civil War, with the kind of the economic dependence on slavery, and our dependence on fossil fuels is as big a challenge. I mean, it provides great conveniences, but the cost, as anyone who lives in New York City or is facing these droughts and fires, and or has children and cares about their future, the cost that we get from these conveniences is too great, but it means that we have to stand up and fight, and that includes supporting the divestment campaigns that groups like 350 are promoting. You know, if you attend a college or went to a college or involved in any institution whatsoever, you should be asking, why are they investing in fossil fuel companies? I mean, you know, and you should be wondering why, you know, and asking, one of the things we do at Forecast the Facts is we're challenging our local, you know, encouraging people to challenge their local weather people, the forecasters, to tell the truth about climate change. You know, we just have to be committed to this fight and recognize that this isn't just about kind of some vague environmental question, which, you know, personally is something that, you know, I see as being very important, but that this is literally our lives are at stake.
Very, very good point. Brad, I want to go to some comments recently by Senator Barbara Boxer, who indicated that, you know, that she appears to be looking more towards having the EPA assert its authority to regulate CO2 emissions, and seeming to, in her comments, leaning away from, you know, making any sort of push in terms of legislation. And that goes to an issue that Betsy and I have discussed with others, which is there, you know, would it make sense as a policy for President Obama to use his office as a bully pulpit to try to sort of, you know, call out the House Republicans who are standing in the way of any sort of legislative action on this? Or do you think it's a better policy in terms of what Boxer is supporting, which is just to use the regulatory authority and basically, you know, throw in the towel on any sort of legislative action because of the pigheadedness of the House GOP?
Well, I mean, we should remember that when the House was under Democratic control, the House passed climate legislation and it was killed by the Senate. Mm-hmm. And that was a democratically controlled Senate. So we live in a world where the House Republicans and their outrageous denial of science is, you know, is a vile and, you know, kind of exceedingly obvious indication of the corrupting power of fossil fuels on our democracy. But we need to recognize that that's pervasive within the Democratic Party as well. If the question is, should we be pushing for legislation? Absolutely. We should be expecting the legislative branch to be taking necessary action, the executive branch, the judicial branch, state and local levels of government, corporations, companies, institutions. This is a fight that we should all be fighting. And if any institution is failing to do what it can to reduce the, you know, and put us on a pathway to end fossil fuels and also to survive the storms and floods that we're seeing today and the worst ones to come, then they're failing to do their jobs, and we should speak out against that. Now, if the question is, do you think that it's like, so the question isn't, should the president be moving forward on regulatory authority instead of legislation? We should be pushing for all of the above, to use a phrase that President Obama has used.
All of the above, right. So is climate silence going to continue? Have we broken the climate silence or not?
Well, I mean, what the president did in the inaugural speech is certainly a marked change from his complete and total silence during the debates. But he's come much closer to talking about climate change as an urgent problem that's affecting Americans today. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, he didn't actually mention Sandy and the victims in New York. He hasn't done that. But most importantly, the real thing that he's been silent on for years now is the hard math of climate change, that you basically just don't get to burn more fossil fuels if you want to have a livable planet. And we're hopeful that in the State of the Union address, and that's if you go to Forecast the Facts right now, that's the petition that we're calling for, is that he lays out an actual plan to get, you know, this nation off of fossil fuels. And to just end future investments in digging up carbon and burning it. And that's why we need to fight on the Keystone XL thing, but, you know, it needs to be part of a comprehensive strategy to, you know, end further exploration in the Arctic and further exploration in the Gulf of Mexico, and, you know, coal lease sales, you know, and fracking. Like, we need a different path than the one we're on. And the president ran on a platform of increasing fossil fuel production, and he has not changed that platform yet. And that's what we're looking for, and that's what I think we can really truly consider to be the end of his silence on what the truth of climate change is.
Brent, as you mentioned, hope is not necessarily a policy or a policy strategy, but going to an issue that Betsy has long discussed in terms of the media coverage or lack thereof of the issue. I must say I've been impressed in terms of the media coverage in the past couple of days, with the exception of apparently Sam Donaldson, apparently didn't seem to get any sort of memo whatsoever about science, and Peter Sinclair, our friend on climatecrocs.com, has noted Donaldson being sort of out to lunch on this. Do you think this coverage will be sustained, or do you think that, much like what happened in the few weeks after Sandy, it'll start cycling down again and the media will start getting distracted by other less important things?
Well, I mean, I think that we should, I mean, I mean, it's that type of thing where, like, I didn't really see this, like, dialing back after Sandy. There's been a real sustained commitment by the people who live in New York, and that includes a lot of our top national media outlets, to try to find out and report on and talk about climate change as something that's actually happening now. It's actually something that people are having to deal with in terms of politics and in terms of their individual lives. There was the New York Times science section this week, for the first time in basically years, had a major story on climate change and, you know, sea level rise and how that's impacting the United States. And I think what we need to do is recognize what an uphill battle we're facing, but also celebrate the real change that, you know, like, it is up to us as, you know, American citizens and as activists to make sure that the lesson of Superstorm Sandy isn't lost. And the stories are out there, and we need to make sure that whenever you see a good story, and like a strongly reported one, you share it with your friends and you contact the reporter and thank them for doing that work. You know, this is the time to, like, that's the, you know, where the hope comes from is when you find this work that people are doing and you make sure to celebrate it.
Mm, good point. While we're on the topic of media, Brad, what did you think of Al Gore selling to Al Jazeera? Current TV.
You know, it's like, it's kind of funny. Now both Fox News and, you know, Current TV are significantly owned by, Middle Eastern, the Middle East. I don't have any particular insight on it. One of the things to remember is that people talk about Qatar as a petrostate, but we need to recognize that so is the United States, and so is Canada, and so is Venezuela, and I think that's the most important thing to recognize is that, the wealth of the United States right now is tied up with the fossil fuel industry, and that's why the divestment campaign that so many people are pushing, and so many young people are pushing across campuses today is so important, because we can't fight climate change until we separate ourselves from the polluters. Until we take a moral stand against accepting this money that comes at the from essentially knowingly sacrificing the happiness and health of our children. That's the hard thing, is that's what we're all doing in one way or another, but the wealthiest among us are deliberately doing it and doing it on, on vast scale.
Mm. Do you have a last question for Brad?
Just in mentioning the Al Jazeera Al Gore matter, it reminded me of Rick Tilta's observation that Al Jazeera English, despite its ownership, has done, by United States standards, a pretty impressive job of covering climate. And Rick Tilta said that he hopes that Al Jazeera America does cover these issues in an objective manner. I mean, a couple of months ago, I think they had Joe Rogan, Michael Mann, and Rick Tilta on. And when's the last time you've seen that in any American media? I certainly will never see that on Fox, that's for sure.
Right. And I don't know in Middle East politics, and I mean, that's one of the things, is a lot of this is wrapped up in, essentially race baiting about the Middle East. And, I think that's something that, and Al Jazeera, has a lot to answer for in terms of its coverage. We need to fight hate and lies and deception wherever they appear. And unfortunately right now, we live in a society where the hate and lies and deception of the fossil fuel industry are perfectly acceptable. I mean, it doesn't... Yesterday in my inbox, the Huffington Post Hill, their newsletter this week is sponsored by the American Petroleum Institute. So this is this type of thing.
They're everywhere.
It seems like they're everywhere, but it's really there's really only a very few people who are deliberately, profiting from the destruction of our planet. And the only reason they're able to get away with it is because not enough of us stand up and understand that there's more of us than there are of them. And that we live in a world where, if we actually believe and fight for justice and we fight for compassion, then we can actually achieve those victories. And, and we have to do that. And it's absolutely true that one of the most important elements of that is fighting for truth, which is why I'm glad that I'm part of Forecast the Facts. But it's really inspiring when I see and talk with our members, because, you know, I'm lucky enough to get a paycheck doing it, but our members are committing and to these fights and working to, you know, to make change, not because of some profit motive, but because, you know, they love their children, or because they love the country that they live in, or they love their hometown, and, you know, and they're not willing to do nothing when they know that bad people, no matter how powerful they are at fault. So, well, you know, that's, you know, and I know that's why you guys do this too.
I was just going to say, put DR and I in that category. It's a labor of love, but we're glad you're doing what you're doing, Brad, leading up not only Forecast the Facts, but the other great organization, so timely, Climate Silence. I want to draw people's attention to a great article on the Alternet today. It's titled, It's Time for the Global Warming Prophets to Speak Up, and worth a read. Actually, it was posted on January 16th, just came to my attention today. I think it is time. I'm sure you both agree, and thanks for your time, Brad. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Oh,
when
Thanks.
We come back, we're going to be speaking to someone who works for Bold Nebraska, get their reaction to the governor, Republican governor of Nebraska, yesterday approving his portion of the oil pipeline right after these messages.